some weeks ago and said you need to spend a few days just in prayer and fasting and invite the whole church to be a part of this. And as we've been, some of you have been praying on your own at home and listening to God, but I found this week to be so, well, revolutionary would probably be a tame word for it, what God's been speaking to me about. And we've really had opportunities this week to meet with God, and both for Crawley and East Grinstead. And, you know, part of the reason for meeting together isn't just have another prayer meeting, it's actually to meet with God so that he can then speak into our hearts, and through that meeting with him, release his prophetic words and release prayer that makes a difference up there somewhere. Because when we hit something in prayer in the heavenly places, then it will come down.
Amen.
Sometimes we pray and it never lifts off above your head. Yeah. That's because we're praying out of here. But when we start to meet with God, when his presence comes, we get lifted up, as it were, into the heavenly places. Just do something. Sorry, it's not thunder. We get lifted up into heavenly places, and when we're in the heavenly places, when we meet with the Lord, then we begin to see things, and when we begin to see things and hear things from the Lord out of his word, things that he wants to do, things that he's about to do, things that he's beginning to do, we can then begin to pray those things into being. Does this make sense? Just turn with me, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. God's interested in you this morning as a person.
Amen.
He loves you as a man, as a woman of God. He loves you. And he has a purpose. You know, he's got a greater purpose for the church.
Amen.
He's got a great purpose for you, but he's got a greater purpose for the church.
Yeah.
Now, it's very important we hear this. If you think the church is something you come to, you're wrong. Wrong understanding. If you think church is something you go to once a week or twice a week, or go to your group or meet for early morning prayer and come on a Sunday, and that's church. It isn't church. The church is the body of Christ to which you belong.
That's right. Amen.
And it has to be expressed somewhere. So
amen.
I regard it as like it's like a flock. And Jesus is our good shepherd of the flock, of the sheep. And so the church is made up of sheep. We're all sheep. Hopefully we're becoming more like the shepherd. We're not wandering off and we're following him. But the church is where Jesus has come to live. And the church is the body of Christ. It's called the body of Christ in the New Testament. What does that mean? It means that we're literally his hands and his feet. It means that he is the head, but he's not just the head. He is the body as well, you know.
Amen.
I just caught a fresh revelation of it. Maybe I'm stupid or something, maybe a little bit dense, but I just got a fresh revelation of what it meant that we sometimes talk about the body of Christ, and then we talk about Jesus being the head, and somehow those two things seem to be sometimes disconnected in our thinking. We know that Jesus is the head of the church and he's part of the church, but in our thinking sometimes we almost separate him from the church. And the church is the body of Christ. It's where members of the church, as we all are, members of his body, are connected with him, but he's actually living in us. And what he's longing to do in these days is he wants the church to be full of his glory. And I don't know too many churches that are full in the sense of the New Testament, are full of his glory. But that's what he wants. That's what he's longing to do, is to pour out his spirit into a group of people like us who love him with all of our hearts, and we get a revelation, he's living in me. He's living in Bob, he's living in Jackie, he's living in Martin, he's living in Giovanni, he's living in Carol, he's living in Tony, he's living in
Martha.
Everyone. and that means he's living in the church. But you know and I know that if we're just individual people, just members, but we're not functioning as a body, he can never fill the church how he wants to. And what God is wanting to do in these days, he wants the church to be full of his glory.
Amen.
Where he's literally walking amongst us. Where when we begin to pray, he's right there with us. He's in us, but he's also with us, walking in the church. And during this time of prayer this week, in the mornings and the evenings, we've There's been this fresh revelation of Jesus holding the candlestick, walking amongst the church, holding the candlestick of the church, because he wants the church to shine brightly. You know, we're living in very dark days. And some people really go on about the darkness and the gloom and the credit crunch, and all those things are very true. Things are really being shaken to the core, and they'll actually get worse. I thought I'd just tell you, as we go into 2009, they're going to get worse. But there's some things that are going to get better. And in the darkness, in the shaking, God actually is at work. In the world, in this nation, there's a reaping of things that have been sown in sin and in the flesh. There's a reaping, and therefore there's a shaking, there's a judgment coming on that. But the great thing is that God wants, this is the greatest hour for the church. This is the brightest hour for the church to rise up, for God's people to rise up, not as individual people, but as a people who will come together as the body of Christ.
Amen.
This is why I need you. And you need me. And you need the person next to you and in front of you and behind you. Whether you like them or not, you need them. And God wants us to love one another and be a people of love. And people who are living in the light with one another. And not holding grudges and have a pure heart for God. And when our hearts are lined up with God, you know, at the start of this week, God was talking about realigning ourselves with him. And I saw this great big pipe from heaven. But the pipe wasn't connected properly. And out of this pipe there was glory. It looked like liquid gold. And then there was a pipe coming up from the earth. And the pipe was just disconnected. It was there. It was receiving some things, but it wasn't connected properly. And God said, I want to set things in place in this time of prayer. Begin to set things in place. Not just for us as a church, but for the church. Because the pipe is talking about our connection with God. It's talking about the church being connected in the right way with God, lined up, aligned with God, with a pure heart. And then he began to talk to me about a deep cleansing. And I've had to repent of some things this week that I wasn't aware of. And I'm sure some of you have as well. And God says, I want to cleanse you of all compromise. I want to cleanse you of all apathy. I want to cleanse you of sin. I want to cleanse you. There's a deep cleansing God wants to work in the church, because when the cleansing of his spirit comes, the light of God comes, and we can be washed in his blood and forgiven. And when that happens, like you'd clean a bowl before you put food in. You wouldn't put food in a dirty bowl, would you? You'd clean it first. You'd stick it in the dishwasher, or get your husband to clean it, or do something with it. Make it clean, and then you'd put food in. Now God says he wants a clean church. And if he doesn't have a clean church, he can't actually pour out his glory in the measure and the way that he wants to in this hour. So the body of Christ is key, because the church is the carrier of God's kingdom here on earth. We're the legs and the feet to bring the kingdom, God's kingdom, God's reign down on the earth, in our towns and cities, in this nation and other nations. Amen. And God's been speaking to me this week. He wants us to be pure. He wants us to be living in holiness. We all know these as words, as concepts, but whether we're actually doing it or not is another thing. And God wants to put fire in our hearts, fire in our bellies, and serve him with love and love one another and come into a new place of love.
Amen.
We talk about love, but we don't love enough. We talk about holiness, but we're not holy in the right way. We're not walking in holiness. We've been made holy, but we're not walking in it. We know that we're loved of God, but we don't walk in love in the way that we should do. And God is wanting to raise us up, lift us up. And it's not that we've got to try harder. We just need to come to him and just submit ourselves to him. We just need to give ourselves fully to him, and he'll do the work. That's the great thing about the Lord. You come to him, and he'll do it. You make yourself available to him. You lay yourself bare before him, and he'll come and change you if you let him for the best. And this is what God has for us. And in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. It's talking about prayer. If you just understand these few verses, they're talking about prayer. And this is it. Is when God comes to your, to you, let's say in the morning, let's just use this as an example. He comes to you in the morning. What place does he find you in? Does he find there's a lot of Zeds going up to heaven in the morning? Is that the most inspired thing that you can give to God in the morning? Or when he awakens you or you set your alarm to go off, are you up meeting with him? No, no, no. In the quietness, you can answer the Lord yourself. Because the Lord wants to find you in your rightful place. There's other times in the day when God wants you to meet with him. And it's not necessarily spending hours and hours, but it is spending some time with God so that you're giving time from your heart so that he can come and do a work. Now, some of you need a new work, as we all do. Yeah. I've had to have an overhaul now and again, where my prayer life has needed a new jump start, a new kick start, a new inspiration from God. And God will do that, providing that we come to him in our weakness and say, Lord, I need you to help me. Because I can't change myself. I'm quite willing to do everything I can do, but I need you. And when we come with that hunger and that thirst, God will start doing a new work in us. That will be a hunger and thirst to meet with him in prayer. Prayer, if you think prayer and you think, oh, right? If that's your first thought, you've missed it. You've missed what prayer is. Prayer is about the most exciting thing, because prayer is about meeting with God. Prayer isn't so much to do with you saying things. Prayer is about you actually coming to God and meeting with him and he meeting with you. When I think about what's happened in this last week when we've had our times of prayer and worship, we've spent a lot of time just worshiping the Lord. Because it's out of that time of worship, of seeing him, of knowing him, of hearing his voice, we've then got anything to pray about anyway. So that we're being moved in our spirit. Out of that time of worship, meeting with God, God can do so much in times of worship and our giving ourselves to him. Sometimes we don't need an awful lot of time to pray, if I can put it that way, praying about the issues. What we need is meet with God, because God will do the rest. God will act, God will work, and God will inspire us for the things that we need, obviously, to pray about. Will God find you in the right place this Christmas? Will he find you in the right place this Christmas? Christmas is a great time. It's a great time to celebrate, to have a family, and to hopefully to reach out. We don't want anyone in this church who's on their own to be on their own this Christmas, particularly Christmas Day. Do think about others. And invite at least one person into your home, you know, who's on their own this Christmas. Think about people who are on their own and invite them to come for Christmas, to spend Christmas Day with you so that they're blessed. I don't want to hear any reports of anyone that's been left this Christmas, but we want to make sure everyone is loved and included, because we're a family. Amen. And families reach out to the wider members of the church family and invite them in. So will the Lord find you in the right place this Christmas? Amen. That's great. Because when the Lord comes to us, he wants to find us in the right place. And you know, the Lord is looking over this nation. He's asking the same question about the church. Will he find the church, his church, and church, local churches in the right place with him? Because if we're in the right place, if we're lined up with him, he can pour his spirit out into a ready people to use them, to make Jesus known, to make him known to that city, to that town, to that area. And it says here, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. What we need to do is we need to come into our rightful place before the King of Kings. And as we meet with him in worship and prayer, the Lord will inspire us, both in our own prayer time, meeting with God, and also together, when we come together as a body, when we pray together, we come before God and we begin to declare things in the spiritual realm. We begin to worship and exalt the Lord for who he is. We begin to establish a place in the heavenly places where Christ is. And we actually join him there, because that's our place as well. And in that place, we can begin to pray things from the Word of God, from the Bible. We can begin to speak the truth and declare and proclaim the truth of what God is speaking, for example, over Crawley. We can begin to declare those things. And what happens is there's a revelation of his Word in the heavenly places. And the principalities and powers, not just the God's angels, but the demonic realm also recognize that we have a greater authority than they do.
Amen.
And we need to take that airspace, if I can put it that way, where Jesus is, and establish things in the spirit in prayer so that then we can see something come down on the earth, on the ground.
Amen.
So the manifold wisdom of God is revealed by the church, by the way that we meet together and pray, releasing his presence, establishing things up there in the heavenlies, and also what we do on the earth. That's where the manifold wisdom of God is made known to the principalities and powers. So in the heavenly places in prayer, right where we worship and meet with God, where we declare his truth,
amen, yes.
And then also what we actually do here on earth, manifesting the kingdom of God. Because if we just have great times of prayer and we declare things in the spiritual realm, but we don't do things down here, then we've only done half the job.
Exactly.
If we don't go out on the streets sharing the gospel with people, knocking on doors, or doing whatever it is that God's directing us to do, then we're not going to fulfill that second part. But if we do those things of reaching out to people, of loving people with the kingdom of God, with the gospel, then those two parts will be done. What we establish in the heavenly places, what we declare in the heavenly places before it happens, what we establish there in prayer out of our meeting with God, and then we step out and God begins to release things. Amen. Is this making sense?
Amen.
I'm going to give you an example. When Janet lost Henry and Henry went to be with the Lord not so very long ago, it was the week after the Lord said, I've got a new ministry for Janet, where she is going to help a new group of people. So I began to pray on that before I spoke about it. I established something in the heavenly place. Lord, thank you that Janet is going to be used of you. She's going to reach a new group of people. I don't know where they're going to be, but there's a new ministry that he wants to release in Janet. Isn't that great? And then some weeks later, this guy, Crawley Mao, is the chaplain. He said, Paul, he said, I need at least two people who come on the chaplaincy team. Have you got anyone in your church? And, of course, I said, yes, of course. And Janet is now doing that work, and Jerry as well. Isn't that great? So we're establishing something in the heavenly places. We've been praying, of course, well before that about, Lord, get us into the Mao. Use us in the Mao, Lord, to reach people. And God's answering the prayer now. And now we've got two members of the church and other Christians as well working in the mail, reaching people, being a listening ear and actually being able to give good news of the gospel to people and praying for them.
Amen.
It's wonderful. So we establish things in the heavenly place and then we bring it down on the earth. That's the way the manifold wisdom of God is made known to the principalities and powers. I mean, they really get upset when a backslider comes back to Christ. And we've seen a few come back this year, and there's more coming back now that we're reaching out to, that we've been praying for now for a number of years. God is doing a work. We're establishing something in the spiritual realm. We come against those things of darkness in their lives, and we establish their return to the Lord, and then there's something that we have to do on the earth here. There's something we have to pick up the phone. We have to go and call on someone. We have to go and lay hands on someone who's sick in order to release the kingdom. But if we establish it in prayer, it'll happen on the earth.
Amen.
This makes sense.
Yeah.
And God wants us as a church now. If we're going to succeed like God's telling us that we are for 2009, we're going to have to really get to this place where we all come together to meet for prayer.
Mm.
And I know not everyone can make every prayer meeting, but where we come together in that spirit of love and unity, and the glory of God will come.
Amen.
Because of what God wants to do. And it won't happen without it. It won't happen without it. That's why we're no longer just members of a body, but we are the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And God is calling us to function as a body, both at Crawley and East Grinstead, because of the things he wants to pour out, you see, in us as a church body. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Will he find you in the right place? Will he find us as a church in the right place as we come into 2009? I pray he will. I pray he'll find this to be his home. I pray that he'll find that this church to be his home,
yes,
where he can come and be at home with us and us with him, where he'll literally sit down and dine with us,
yes,
and where we'll meet with him. We've had some tremendous meetings with him this week, but I know the Lord wants to do a lot more with all of us, where he comes amongst us, walks amongst us. Let's look, shall we, at a couple of scriptures now. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41. And I'm calling this morning, I think I made the title for this morning, I sometimes forget exactly what I did say to Sean when he does the labels for us, but I think it was equipped to pray. God wants to equip you to pray. Amen. He wants to not just tell you to pray, he wants to equip you. He wants to enable you to pray and to pray in the right way. And in Matthew's Gospel 26, and I think it's verse 41, it says here, watch and what?
Pray.
Just say it with me. Watch and pray. Just turn to someone near you. Okay, make sure they're awake. And say, watch and pray. Watch and pray. What does this mean? What does this mean? It means watch and pray. Very good. It's very deep, isn't it? It means watch and pray. It means that in our daily lives, we are constantly looking out in the spiritual sense. We have our eyes open, but we're looking in the spiritual sense. We are watching all the time, and we're praying. This is prayer that is 24 hours a day. This is your communion with God. This is your talking and listening to God throughout your day. You're not on your knees to do this. You can do this driving your car. You can do this when you're down at Waitrose or when you're online. You can do this when you're in a traffic jam. You can make the most of your opportunity, most of your time, by watching and praying. And God's calling us as a church to watch and pray.
Amen.
Watch and pray. Watch and pray. And it would be a great prayer for us to pray, Lord, make me a watcher and a prayer. Cause me to watch and pray 24 hours a day, to be watchful and to pray. Now, the Holy Spirit's going to help us to do this. But it says, watch and pray lest you enter into, what does it say?
Temptation.
So if you don't watch, that's to do with faith, looking in faith, looking outwardly in faith, being in touch with God. If you don't watch and if you don't pray, what will happen when you get tempted?
You'll do it.
You'll sin, you'll fall, you'll be distracted onto other things. But if you watch and if you develop this discipline of watching and praying over your own life and over others, watching and praying, you will not enter into temptation, Jesus says. It says the spirit indeed is willing. And I guess most of you here this morning have a willing spirit.
Amen.
Willing for God. You want to do this. You want to be the best believer you can be, but you struggle to be it.
Amen.
Right? You want to be a great prayer warrior, but you struggle to get up in the morning. You want to be a great witness for the Lord, but you struggle telling other people about Jesus. These are the struggles that we have. But I tell you, if you watch and you pray, you'll have a breakthrough.
Amen.
If you watch and pray, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And watching in prayer is God's remedy for your flesh.
Amen.
It's God's remedy for your laziness and my laziness. It's God's remedy for those times when we think, I'll just go back to sleep. Or I'll just go and watch another hour of TV instead of doing that thing that God was prompting me to do. See, watching in prayer, being watchful, watch and pray will enable us to break through and begin to be a different people. Now, if every member of the church is watching and praying in the way that I'm talking about here, we're going to have tremendous victories in the Spirit.
Yeah.
And it means that together as a church, we can really have victories. Amen? I mean, one of the things that we spoke about, that the Lord spoke to us about in the week, was the Laodicean church. The church at Laodicea, one of the churches in the book of Revelation, is a picture of a church that grows lukewarm. And what God said to me, he said, you can have 10 people in the church who are on fire for God, but if you've got 10 who are cold, what does that make the church? Correct answer. You see, you can have some people on fire, but if the other people in the church are not on fire for God, if they're wrapped up in themselves or they have some very real problems and they're cold towards God, then that will weaken, that will mean the temperature of the whole church is weakened. And what God wants to do, he wants to bring us back to himself so that he can cause us all to be firing on all four cylinders.
Amen.
Or six cylinders or eight cylinders, hopefully, if it's a V8. And God wants to enable us to be so right with him that we're all hot for Jesus.
Amen.
In our love for him.
Amen.
And our serving him.
Amen.
And when that happens, God gives us gold.
Amen.
That gold is his presence. That gold is his glory. It talks about it in Revelation chapter 3, if you want to look at it sometime. Tremendous tremendous promises of God for us as a church. And the Lord said, you need to deal with traits in the church where there's lukewarmth. Because lukewarmth, it says a really nasty thing there. It says that God will vomit lukewarmth out of the church. In other words, you taste a lukewarm cup of tea. Does anyone? I know some of you like cold cups of tea, but lukewarm tea is about the worst cup of tea you can ever taste, isn't it? It's better to have a cold cup of tea, better to have a hot one. But if you have a lukewarm one, isn't it, Lee? It's horrible. Lukewarm tea. I had a horrible cup of tea yesterday that got cold yesterday afternoon, and it was my own silly fault, but it tasted horrible, and it wanted me to spit it out. Now, God says it's the same with lukewarmth towards God. He said he'll spit it out of his mouth. So we need to be hot for God. Amen. Don't allow lukewarmth to rob you, but line yourself up with God. Let the Holy Spirit come and put his fire in you again over this Christmas time. Don't let Christmas make you lukewarm. Let Christmas work the other way for you. Let it be a time when you can draw near to God and use the opportunity and the time when you're not at work, hopefully for most of you, that you use some of that time where you can meet with God and let his fire fall upon you afresh. Watch and pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. Are you getting something out of this morning?
Amen.
Hopefully you are, and the Lord is working here. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, I think it is. Let's read at verse 16. Rejoice always. Rejoice always. Just turn to someone, will you? Make them smile, because just say, rejoice always. Rejoice always. Always rejoice. Go on, tell them, rejoice always, always rejoice. Rejoice always. Always rejoice. It's funny, isn't it? We need to be reminded. We must need to be reminded. Look at your faces this morning. You must need to be reminded. We all need to be reminded, rejoice always. Rejoice at all times. Amen. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Watch and pray. Pray without ceasing. So if you're a rejoicer, prayer is easy. If you're a person who rejoices, who knows, even if they feel terrible, or perhaps you're really going through some difficulties, everything's been piled on you, and you're under pressures, but you can, you know, rejoicing is a choice that we make. I think Claire and I used to have a thing on the window. What does it say? My choice to rejoice or something. But you have a choice to rejoice. You can choose to rejoice in the midst of your difficulty, even in the midst of your depression, if you're in depression. You can choose to rejoice and it will lift you out of it. You can choose to rejoice. And it says, rejoice always. And then in verse 17, pray without ceasing. Prayer is hard if you're not rejoicing. The way into God's presence is with thanksgiving and praise, isn't it? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And in everything, give thanks. So in this prayer sandwich, we rejoice. We're rejoicing. We're happy. We're rejoicing. We're praising God. We're thankful. Constantly rejoice. Joy is overflowing out of us. That's what rejoicing is in God. Pray without ceasing. That means we're constantly praying. Praying for others, praying for God's kingdom, praying God's will into being. And in everything, we're giving thanks. Prayer sandwich. Rejoicing, praying without ceasing, and in every situation, we give God thanks. Even in the bad things, we're giving God thanks. Not because he sent that thing, that sickness, but we're giving God thanks because we're making an opportunity for our faith to put our trust in God, that God is our deliverer. God is that person's healer. Amen. So whatever it is we're facing, we rejoice always, we pray without ceasing, and everything we're giving thanks to God. This is God's will for us in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And then it goes on to say, don't quench the Spirit. So, you know, for the Holy Spirit to move, this is how we need to be. We need to work, let the Holy Spirit work this in our lives, to be rejoicers, pray without ceasing, and constantly give thanks. What a great people. And that we are. And then verse, another scripture here, Romans 8, verse 26. Because what God is wanting to do through the Holy Spirit, he's wanting to equip us, just in a fresh way. He wants to equip us anew to pray, but to pray in the Spirit, to pray with the anointing. Romans 8, verse 26. Romans 8, verse 26. It says here, it says, likewise, in the same way, the Spirit. Who's he talking about? The Holy Spirit. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit also aids us, comes to our aid, helps us in our weaknesses. Now, does anyone here know a great sense of weakness in and of themselves? Just put up your hand. If you sense you're weak, you know your own weakness, all right? That's what it's saying. If you know your own weaknesses. Now, what the Holy Spirit, he also knows our weaknesses better than we do. That's why he's called the Helper. That's why when Jesus died and rose again, he sent the Holy Spirit to come and live in us. So he's living in us, those of us that have made him Lord of our lives, he's living in us today to enable us to walk with God and do the things he's calling us to do. And it says that likewise the Spirit aids us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Anyone been there? Like most days, actually. Don't know quite how to pray about this one, Lord. I need you to help me. And as we begin to meet with God in worship, as we begin to acknowledge him and acknowledge the Holy Spirit will come to our aid. He literally comes to support us. He comes with us. He comes and joins us in prayer. And it says, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Every time that you start to meet with God and to pray, acknowledge the Holy Spirit. Acknowledge the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you, you're here. Thank you, you're here to aid me. You're here to help me. You're here to support me. And what will happen is the Holy Spirit comes to our aid, both to pray for things and to pray against things. This is what it means in this verse here. The Holy Spirit comes to pray with us, to pray in support with us for things and against things. There's some things we need to pray for. There's other things we need to pray against. Amen. There's some mountains that we need to command to move, for example. There's some sicknesses and things in the way that we need to command to move in the name of Jesus. We need to exercise our authority. But the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and literally will enable us to pray for things and against things. Amen. In that heavenly place that we were talking about earlier. And as we do this, the Holy Spirit himself is beginning to pray in you. This is why praying in tongues, not going to teach on it this morning, but praying in tongues is so important, because when the Holy Spirit begins to pray in us, you're conscious that it's more him praying in you than it is you praying. Amen. You know, I remember years ago as a young boy thinking prayer meetings are so boring. Prayer meetings are so dull. Prayer meetings are so drab. Just sitting in a room and hearing Mary so-and-so praying the same prayer every week about so-and-so and he and this, that, and that, and the other. And someone else just praying, repeating the same prayer they prayed last week, because I remember what the prayers were. And someone else repeating themselves so much. And it was just boring. It was because it was all at the cerebral brain level. And then later on, experiencing the Holy Spirit and realizing there's a completely different life here that many Christians don't even know about, of praying with the Holy Spirit. And how that the Holy Spirit then came and began to change my prayer life, so that it became a meeting with God. Every time became a meeting with him in his love. Amen. And what happens is, what the Holy Spirit wants to establish in you and in me and in us as a church, he wants to pray in and through us. So he comes to our aid. But he doesn't just come to our aid, but he wants to work in us that kind of supplication. That's an inward working that then has an outflow. That's what supplication prayer means. It means the Holy Spirit comes, he's living in us, but he wants to stir us up so that he begins to release a prayer, his heart, if you like, or his faith, his spirit within you, and joins with you, and you find your spirit is joined with the Holy Spirit, you begin to pray with him. And it's not so much you praying, it's the Holy Spirit praying in you, and it's using you, obviously, and you're praying with God, but it's more the Holy Spirit doing the work now. Now, when that happens, there's anointing, there's a release of rivers of life begin to flow in that kind of prayer. Is the Holy Spirit's released. Now, God's looking for churches. He's looking for you. He's looking for me, but he's, as individuals that will get into this flow with him, but he's looking for churches who will pray in that way as well. He wants a church that he can entrust to pray in this way so that he can visit the church, and not just the church, but he can visit our nation. God is, because there's a great awakening. You know, in our nation is at a crossroads of its destiny. I don't know if you think of it in this term, but God does. Our nation is at a crossroads for its destiny. And if the church doesn't rise up and pray in the way that I'm talking about, we will lose a battle, a very significant battle. But if we rise up and take the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word, and things that he has already decreed in heaven for our nation, for our towns and villages, if we begin to wait upon God and get his word for our nation, right, for our town, for our areas, and begin to pray together as we bring that word, the word of God, at revelation of what he's saying, and pray it into being, it'll be established on the earth.
Amen.
God is looking for intercessors who will spend hours and hours and hours in his presence.
Amen.
And no one else will ever know about it.
Amen.
And that's what they do. Amen. But as they do that in the prophetic sense, they are releasing things in there up there that bring things down here.
Amen.
He's looking for the church to be an intercessory type of... He's looking for us to be an intercessory type of church.
Amen.
But some people call to actually spend their lives as intercessors. And we're looking in this church that there'd be a group of intercessors that will call together by God, who will really meet and pray together.
Amen.
Earnestly. But we want the whole church to be involved in this kind of praying as well.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit wants to pray in and through us. And then let's look at 1 Corinthians 14. And I think it's verse 15. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
1 Corinthians 14.
I remember when Jesus first met with me, and when I was first filled with the Spirit in my teens, I used to go into my bedroom. I shared my bedroom with three brothers. There was four of us in this tiny little room, and we had roll-away beds just to make space. And but when they weren't in the room, when I had a tremendous meeting with God in my teens, and I used to go in this room, and it's like Jesus was in the room. And every time I went into prayer, it wasn't like I had to go up to heaven. It was just like the Lord was right there in the room, and I just closed my eyes, and he was there in his love. And prayer was so easy. And it launched me into a quite a lengthy season of being filled with the Spirit and prayer that from that time forward changed my life when I met with God. And it's, so the work of the Holy Spirit is key here for every one of us, that he wants us to meet with Jesus. He wants us to meet with him, and he wants to release the wells of living water in here so that every time you pray, you meet with the Lord. You see him. You catch a vision of him afresh. You receive of his love. You receive his words over your life. And then you begin, as you worship him and acknowledge him, you then begin to pray about the things that concern him.
Amen.
Amen. And prayer becomes exciting. Prayer becomes a faith adventure every time we meet with God. Because you don't know what God's going to do next.
No, you don't.
Because there's so much more he wants to reveal of himself. But in 1 Corinthians 14, it says this. It says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. So when we pray in the spirit, in the Holy Spirit, we're praying in a language that God has given to us. That's tremendous, because we're actually releasing, we're speaking mysteries of God. We're praying the mysteries of God. It's very powerful. But God also wants us to pray with our understanding, so we actually know what we're praying about.
Amen.
So that we are actually enlightened about the things that we're praying. And so the Lord wants to teach us how to pray in tongues, in the Spirit. And we're going to have another week where we're going to just focus just on that, praying in tongues. But also to pray in our own language, in English.
Amen.
or Mauritian, or whatever it is.
Or Portuguese.
Swana, that's my language.
Swana.
Yeah.
Okay. Swana, or Chinese, whatever it is. God wants to teach how to pray in the Spirit, where we're flowing with the Holy Spirit, praying through us, and then He'll give us, we need to ask Him to give us understanding. So that we can then pray with understanding His will in our own words. So that when we're in a prayer meeting, we have tremendous time praying in the Spirit, and we need to do that. But we also need to pray with the understanding. So we pray in English then, the things that God is, or Swana?
Yes.
Yeah, or Chinese, or whatever it is. But don't do it at our meetings, all right? Because we won't. But we need, so we all understand and we all come into an agreement with what God's will and purpose is.
Amen.
Pray with the Spirit and with the understanding. Now, come with me to Luke chapter 2. This is a Christmas message. All right, this is a Christmas message. And I'm going to, did say I'd speak briefly. Okay, Luke chapter 2. Did you know that one of the reasons Jesus was born and came at the time He did was because there was a lady who prayed?
Yes.
Rose knew that. I'm sure lots of others of you knew it, but you just forgot. And we're just going to read about this lady called Anna. Luke chapter 2 and verse 36. And if you get the message, if you understand this, you'll see God has entrusted you to pray, to meet with Him, because there's some things that will never happen unless you pray.
Amen.
There's some things, if you don't meet with God and then out of that meeting with God, pray, His will may not be done. That's a scary thought, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we get to heaven and find that God actually had a whole string of things that He wanted us to do, but we never actually did them. We'd be in trouble because we'll have missed some things. But if we seek God, if we pray, God will not allow us to miss things like that if we give ourselves to Him in prayer. And it says, now there was one, her name was Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity or her maidenhood. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years. So here's this lady, she's been married for 7 years and she becomes a widow. And it says that she did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. She's an intercessor. She has a ministry of intercession. Intercessors are great people to come and help the whole church learn how to pray. Because that's their ministry. There's a gifting, there's an anointing to do it. And they help the whole church come to become an intercessory type of church. And here she is, she's also a prophetess. And she's been fasting and praying. She's been doing this for donkey's years. And if she got married, let's say she got married at 20, she'd been doing this for 64 years in the temple, fasting and praying. She must have known the Lord. There's nobody can do that unless they have God's anointing on them to do it. But she did. And it says, she did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And verse 38, coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of Him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now, I've read these verses for years, when I've been reading about Christmas and, you know, different times. But it really struck me. God spoke to me about this last night. And as I was praying about it and prayed again this morning, He said to me, this lady had prayed about all of this that happened way before it all came into being. She wasn't the only one. There was Simeon was before as well. It talks about Simeon a few verses earlier, how the Holy Spirit spoke through him as well. But I just want us to focus on this lady, that she, what she had done. If you read these verses, and she comes, it says, and coming in that instant, there was a divine moment when she was to come, when she would see the Messiah, when she would see Jesus in the temple. And do you know, it didn't surprise her when He turned up. She had actually knew the Word of God, the Old Testament Scriptures. She had prayed in the Spirit for many, many, many years. And it was partly through her prayers that she established God's will of the Messiah coming onto the earth, of being born, right? She had been part of the answer to those prayers. She'd been praying. And it says that coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord. She was a prophetess. She came at the right time, just at the right moment. But before she came, she had prayed some things up there. She'd spoken God's word up there. She declared things up there that would come down to the earth. She declared about the Messiah coming, about the Savior coming and being born of a virgin. She must have prayed all of them scriptures. She must have had tremendous understanding and revelation about Jesus. And although it doesn't say very much in those few verses, if you'll spend time and pray, this is what we're supposed to do about the Bible doesn't tell you everything. So you read a verse and you think, well, it's a bit boring. Doesn't she say that she knew everything about Jesus there? But if you pray over a scripture, if you pray over verses, the Holy Spirit will begin to speak to you and begin to unlock things that are actually in that little treasure trove of that verse and begin to show you things that's behind that verse. Does that make sense? And we need to be careful. We need to check things out. But this is what happened to this Anna, the prophetess. She had prayed for years and years and years, and probably her main focus attention was that the Messiah should come. And what he should do, and what his victory would be. And so she came in that instant to witness what she'd prayed for. She came to see Jesus when he was dedicated in the temple here. Coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption to Jerusalem, in Jerusalem. So she understood who Jesus was. She had prayed it into being. What is God asking you to pray about it at the moment? We pray about our needs. We pray about things that matter to us. Of course we do. We need to know God's will about those things. But what about the bigger picture? What does God want to do in this church? What does God want to do in our nation? What is God wanting to do in this hour? And he wants us as a people to begin to rise up and ask the Holy Spirit to come and enable us to pray in a new way. Enables to pray in a new strength. Amen. Amen. Make us like Anna, who proclaimed things, who spent many, many hours in prayer, waiting on God, and then declared things in the spiritual realm, and then they were outworked on the earth. Amen. Amen. God's calling you and me at this Christmas time to recognize Jesus came because someone prayed, someone interceded, someone proclaimed something in faith through the Holy Spirit, and then it happened. She was in the right place at the right time. Are you going to be in the right place for God? Am I going to be in the right place for God so that he can do all the things that he's planned to do in your life, in your ministry? And every one of us has a ministry here today, an area that God wants to serve him in. God wants to raise us up as a church. He'll be in the right place where he's wanting to equip us in prayer. The Holy Spirit, prayer isn't hard work. If the Holy Spirit comes and does that work. Amen. Amen. There is an ease in prayer. Prayer is demanding, but the Holy Spirit will enable us to pray at this time. Let's all stand, shall we? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, this morning, as just close your eyes and lift your hands to the Lord. And whatever you're like in prayer this morning, the Lord knows, and he knows how to help you. He knows how to help me. And wherever you're at in your relationship with the Lord, because prayer is relationship. Prayer is never meant to be duty. Prayer was never to be something that you did just out of a dutiful thing. But prayer is meeting with God. Prayer is coming to him. The Lord's waiting to meet with us every day. And at different points in that day. And he just wants us to learn how to come to him. Yield afresh to him. And you know, the key this morning is the Holy Spirit. Precious Holy Spirit.